if you're speaking to the sports fan, listens to our show. Those are the people that are going to the games that do care.
It's embarrassing.
Who would you replace him with?
That's over my pay grade.
Well,
okay.
So is firing him, but you didn't have any hesitation with that.
Steve carries himself with a lot of dignity, truth. Thank you for everything.
He doesn't take days off. He's one of those guys that he's out there every game.
There's a new type of broom out. It's sweeping the nation.
Are you Googling this?
Protect our radio talent.
You two are ridiculous.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Pauly Sebelia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us alongside Pauly Sebelia. I'm Stephen Fonte. We welcome you into a Wednesday edition of Orange Nation. We've got two guests lined up for you. We are going to be joined momentarily by SU defensive lineman Josh Black. He'll kick off the show for us. And then coming up in hour number two, we'll be joined by Neil Adler from Inside the Loud House. We'll talk some SU basketball recruiting with Neil. We got to talk All-Star Game. We've got to talk Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Plus, we'll take your phone calls at any time, 315-437-7644. We've got to finalize our golf picks as well. The Open Championship beginning tomorrow out in England. Yep. Lots to get to on the show today, Paul.
One other thing I want to hit is the Coach Q has lost his first recruit.
Yes.
Since the news breaking, so we can hit on that also.
Did you watch the All-Star game last night?
I did. It's fun. I like the mic'd up thing. I found that the players were a lot less talkative than I would have liked them to be. You know, like I was watching, and even Fernando Tatis was given one-word answers when they were talking to him out there. You know, like I remember Bryce Harper did it, and he was a blast.
Sure.
You know, it's just the guys they had out there were kind of boring. Not going to lie.
Turned into a pretty good game. National League loading the bases there in the eighth inning. There was some drama.
Yeah, I was telling you, I think they should just allow the managers to play whoever they want, whenever they want.
Even if it's somebody who's played and
like if the base is loaded,
out.
Yeah, if the base is loaded, come out and you've taken out like, Vlad Guerrero Jr. and he's on your bench, you know, just put him right back in. In this situation, I need him bad. It might be insulting to the other All-Star, but...
Because whoever spot he's taking, that guy's an All-Star as well.
But that's life. You're an All-Star. Get over it. Everybody knows there's a pecking order in life. You're still getting the bonus for being an All-Star.
That would be a cool gimmicky type thing, though, you know, for the All-Star game. Yeah. Maybe the managers get, like, you know, one guy they can put back in the game or two guys.
That'd be great.
Whatever it is. Like a coach's challenge, almost. Make it different. Be something to look forward to.
It would be fun. Just make it fun.
And even though Shohei Ohtani didn't come up with a hit, that was still really cool to see him, you know, 1-2-3 in the first inning, took a couple of at-bats, 0-2 as the designated hitter. But what a story he's been, certainly throughout the year and the last couple of days.
Or the manager gets to pick one ringer he brings in from anywhere.
Ringer in an All-Star game?
Yeah, you know what I mean, though?
Like, aren't they all ringers?
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about there's one guy he doesn't tell anybody is on the bench. And then out of nowhere.
A mystery guest.
Like a WWE tag team. The guy who just comes off the bench and hits a home run for you.
All right. And with that, we'll go to the guest line to bring on our first guest today. As promised, we are joined to open the show by SU defensive lineman Josh Black. Josh, great to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you today?
I appreciate it. Yeah, great to be on. I'm doing good right now. You know, I just finished a little workout, feeling good. And yeah, excited to be on for sure.
All right, before we talk some football, let's talk about last night. Dino Babers throwing out the first pitch. Now, I don't know if you were there in 2016 when he threw out the first pitch. It did not go well the first time around. He bounced it about 5 feet in front of the plate. Last night, much better effort from the head coach. So your assessment of Coach Babers and his pitching form, and was he stressing out about that at all leading up to the first pitch?
He was definitely stressing out a little bit because the last time, like you said, he kind of just threw a straight into the dirt. So this time, yeah, he definitely, I feel like he honed in on his technique. He did some stretches here and there. Yeah, his flexibility and mobility looked great. Yeah, he made it all the way to the catcher's glove. And yeah, it was a really solid strike for sure, straight down the middle.
It was. Much better performance from Dino Babers. All right, Josh, let's talk some football. And I guess first things first, let's go back to your decision and the decision of several other guys on this team, for that matter, to use the extra year of eligibility granted by the NCAA to decide to come back for a sixth year. What went into that decision for you? Was it an easy decision? And I guess kind of take us through what went through your mind as you went through making that decision.
Yeah, so definitely first off, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. So having this COVID year and having this extra year of eligibility, I felt like for myself, this happened for a reason for me, and a lot of the other guys can attest to that too. So having an extra year, I felt like there was still a lot of meat left on the bone for Syracuse itself. Yeah, I've been a part of this program for, man, as long as I can remember, since 2016. And, I've been through the ups, I've been through the downs, and it just felt in my spirit and in my heart, I couldn't end on our 1-10 season last year. It felt like there was something I needed to do personally better to help prepare the team next year. And I just couldn't, it just felt like I'd be jumping ship in that case. I've been a part of the program so long. It feels like I've been family here. And, I just have such that tight knit feeling with all the guys here, all the coaching staff. And I felt like it was my duty to help lead and teach all the younger guys, get them prepared for years to come. But also, try to excel my skills, my strength, my athleticism, to get a chance to play at the next level, get some more film to have scouts look at, especially in our new defense running a 3-3-5. And just having 1 year of film, it doesn't really help me out, but having this second year of film in a 3-3-5 defense can also help me excel in, in all of our defensive fronts that we're running this year too. So that had a huge contribution to everything I thought of, but also it gives me a chance to finish my master's degree by the time I'm out of here. So, that's something you can't pass up. Education is priceless. You're going to be able to use this forever. It's the biggest investment you can make. If football doesn't go well for me, then I can rely on my education to carry me on through life.
Yeah, congratulations on that, and well said. You mentioned a moment ago the ups and downs. You've been here for the ups and downs, and we saw, the ups with a 10-win campaign, Eric Dungy's final year here, and then we saw 5 wins the next year. We saw 1 win, of course, last year. There is such a fine line, Josh, and I don't need to tell you this, but such a fine line between winning and losing at a major Division I college football program. What has been the difference from the way that, that you've seen over the course of the last few years, going from that 10-win campaign to winning, 6 games over the course of the last 2 years? What's the biggest difference in your mind between, those two, the season and that you won 10 games and then winning 6 the following two?
Right. So looking from, being myself, being a player, so looking from the inside out, knowing all the team dynamics of what's going on. So basically it all comes down to how important is winning to the team at this moment. It's really easy to wake up on your off day and be like, oh, this is my off day, I don't need to do anything. But when we won that 10-win season, our off days, all of our guys were working, right? We're all trying to find ways to get better. It was a team effort at the point. Everybody had that winner's mentality, right? So all 110 guys, how many guys we had on the team back then, we all were, cohesive. We're all together. We all had this main goal. And it really just comes down to culture. Culture can change from year to year, month to month. And it's all, at this point, it's all about leadership, carrying guys along, get them with the program, et cetera. That's why I felt like I didn't do my duty of that last year. That's why I needed to come back this year to steer everything in the right direction, right? Because me being an older guy, been through it all, and I know what it takes to, make a winning program. I've been through it. I've been through a losing program as well. So now keeping all these attributes and skills that I've learned from the previous seniors and previous leaders, that I can now use this for our younger guys to bring along and get us where we need to be.
In addition to everything else last year, Josh, between the pandemic and injuries and opt-outs, you guys had to deal with a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator. Tony White comes in, as you mentioned, brings with him a new scheme, the 3-3-5. I'd imagine it was difficult learning that in a short period of time and not being able to do as much on-field work as you were used to. Now that you're, a year into it, has the game slowed down a little bit? And I mean, what can fans, I guess, expect to see on the defensive side of the ball now that you guys have a year under your belt with this new system?
Right. So definitely slowed down, but at the same time sped up also, because last year was a more simplified version of it, because we didn't even have a spring ball. We, you know, camp, there was issues during camp at the time. So we really didn't even get to install the full defensive playbook like we are now. So now that we just had spring ball this year, we're starting to get very complex in our scheme right now. And you can just expect a lot more excitement. Last year, we were very solid. That's the first year in the system. We're running around. We're hitting, making plays. We have a bunch of young guys on the field having fun out there against going against top talent. So this defense, you know, this is made for hitters. You're making plays all over the place, and it's going to just be very exciting. There's going to be more plays being made, more sacks, more tackles for losses. There's overall big hits that we can definitely bring to the fans in the Dome this year.
You know, you look at losing three guys to the NFL on that side of the ball, Iffy and Trill and Andre. You know, most defenses would take a hit when you lose three guys to the NFL, but that seems like that's going to be one of the strengths of this team again this year, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely for sure. I mean, our secondary is going to be very solid. We have a lot of young guys coming up. Garrett Williams is really taking everybody underneath his wing. You know, I had an exceptional freshman year. And, you know, a lot of the guys just feed off of the success of others, which is, you know, which is great to see. And seeing Iffy, Cisco, and Trill in the NFL, it also gives a lot of hope to our guys on defense also. So, oh, they can do it, so why can't we? Why can't we make the plays? Why can't we be just as good as them? And I feel like that's just so much more motivation for us to see that our dreams are right in front of us, and we just need to work harder to get there.
Josh Black joining us here for another couple of minutes on Orange Nation. Josh, I do want to ask about name, image, and likeness stuff here in a moment, but one more football question. Everybody wants to know who the quarterback's going to be, and I don't expect you to break any news for us on the show today, but can you kind of give us an update and an idea of how that competition is going between Tommy DeVito, Garrett Schrader, and the rest of the guys in that quarterback room?
Right, so even if I did have an answer, I probably couldn't tell you. But I mean, this, you know, it's just overall competition, right? That's exactly what we needed for this team, and you know, just having that competition in the quarterback room specifically just makes the team overall better. Nobody wants to make a bad play. Nobody has time to slack off here and there. No one has that starter position at the quarterback. I mean, well, it's basically any position on our team right now. If you're not playing like a starter, you won't be a starter. And that's that competitive attitude that is different from the last couple of years that we've been losing, right? It's not just, oh, he's a starter, so he's going to start. No, there's competition all over the field right now. I mean, there's competition for kicker, punter, you name it, long snapper. It's just such a different environment and culture. But right now, specifically in the quarterback room, you know, they're just both making plays. They're both great players. They both have different attributes and skills that they bring to the table. And it's going to be a great quarterback battle. And whoever gets that starting job by the start of the season, I mean, that could change week to week. But they can just make plays. They can make the throws. I mean, they're just both exceptional right now. They keep getting better and better every day.
All right, as I mentioned, I want to ask you a couple questions about name, image, and likeness. The policy change, what was it, 2 weeks ago? And I'm sure you're still kind of learning how this whole thing's going to go, but you've been outspoken about feeling like athletes deserve to get paid and you know, to be able to benefit off their name, image, and likeness. I know you've got a couple things lined up already. Did you think that you would be one of those guys that would be able to benefit from it, or you know, did you think the NCAA was going to drag its feet to the point where you know, you'd be gone by the time this thing passed?
Yeah, that's a really good statement and question you asked, because originally everything was state by state. It wasn't like everyone over the country. It wasn't like an NCAA mandated thing. So in my mind, in my opinion, and from hearing from all different types of resources, New York was supposed to pass their name, image, and likeness laws in January of 2022. So in my head, I'm just like, okay, whatever. I don't get the benefit from it. All the younger guys will. But then, you know, just out of nowhere, boom. Every state's allowed to do it. And so I felt like I was behind, and that's why I've been so active on social media, because I feel like we were one step behind instead of forward. Like some of these other schools, they already had, you know, they had literally a lot of things in place for them, and then they just needed to wait for the NCAA to finally kick it into gear. But, yeah, like I said, I felt like we were behind, so that's why I'm, you know, messaging out everybody, because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So you never know what's going to happen on social media. It's the most powerful platform out right now. So, yeah, it's definitely something that has been benefiting me, but also other guys on the team and all over the country too. But there's a common misconception on having athletes benefit off their name, image, and likeness. There's been a whole weird negative stigma on social media, thinking that athletes this whole time were trying to get paid to play like actual salary, which is ridiculous. We're college athletes. We know that's not realistic, and that's not what we've been trying to fight for this past couple years, well, past 20 years, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's just having the benefit of just, you know, making some extra benefits off your name. You go to class with other people, you see them on social media, all their brand ambassadors for clothing companies and, you know, supplement workout stuff. You know, if they can do it, like, why can't we? And that's where it comes just in the fair play. How can we make it fair for everybody? And so I finally feel like we're taking that step in the right direction.
Well, let's take advantage of the ability to do that right now, Josh. What do you got going on? Why don't you tell the people on the radio where they can take advantage of your name, image, and likeness?
Right. So I got a couple deals right now. I mean, I'm just talking to some, you know, some streetwear apparel right now. I don't know, because NCAA compliance rules on how I'm able to really advertise out right now during a Syracuse broadcast. So I can't specifically say, but if you want to, you can check out all my social media, my Twitter, my Instagram, all that good stuff, my TikTok also. But I just don't want to do any NCAA violations with this right now.
Well,
for
that's,
sure.
That's the big issue, right?
Yeah.
No one knows.
No one knows, right?
Why can you put it on social media, but you can't say it on the radio? It's insane.
Right, yeah. It's like it's weird, hard to explain. If something is endorsed or said upon your specific school, you can't put it out there. There is a lot of underlying rules and regulations still. So, say, for example, I'm promoting a company. I can't have anything Syracuse-related in that picture. So, let's say, for example, I'm getting a slice of pizza at some random pizza place. I can't just pick up a slice. I can't have a Syracuse shirt on or anything that really resembles the Block S or Syracuse colors on. So, that's where it's big into, you know, it's big into social media. You have to have your audience already set at this point. It's going to be hard to reach out of a new audience because a lot of the time, people are going to be like, who even is this? You have to already have a following, which is, you know, which kind of makes this tricky. That's why you see a lot of these more high caliber players benefiting off this because everybody knows who they are already. They don't have to make themselves known. And that's one of the tricky things about NIL itself.
All right, well, I tell you what, Josh, you've been a pleasure to talk to. You're a very impressive young man. Anytime you want to come on the radio and build your brand and reach out to the audience, just say the word. We'll get you on, okay?
Oh, for sure. I appreciate that. I'll definitely take you up on that offer.
All right, and good luck throughout the rest of the summer getting ready for the season. And it's hard to believe, but we're going to be talking football here in about another month or so. So, Josh, thanks so much for being gracious with your time. Enjoy your summer, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
For sure. Appreciate it. Yeah. Talk again soon. Yeah. Football is right around the corner. Go SU, baby.
All right. There he is. Josh Black. And with that, phone lines are open. The rest of hour number one, 315-437-7644. Time out here. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1.
This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Pauly back with you here on a Wednesday edition of Orange Nation, 315-437-7644 if you'd like to check in. We've got Neil Adler from Inside the Loud House set to join us at the top of hour number two. We had Josh Black on at the top of the show, in case you missed a great interview. I hope we can have him on again sometime soon, certainly once football season starts up. You ended the interview by asking him about his sponsorships. And he, just to be safe, chose not to get into the details. I did have a Syracuse spokesperson reach out to me, say that he could have if he wanted to, just to make that clear. But again, better safe than sorry. And I think
that's
one of the things with this whole thing. We're learning as we go, including the players. They're learning as they go.
Yeah, it's crazy that you know, that was basically, I feel bad I put him on the spot. Like, I thought that was...
He handled it great, though.
No, yeah, I thought it was a no-brainer that, hey, you're allowed to sell stuff now. Let's take advantage of it. And he didn't know if he could, but that's going on across the country. I guarantee it.
Yeah, every college dealing with it, all the athletes dealing with it. But better safe than sorry. Didn't want to make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake.
No, that was handled awesome.
He handled
it
perfectly.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I would plan on hearing more from Josh Black on these airwaves in the near future.
Yeah, let's make that happen. Yeah, terrific young man and one of the leaders of that team, certainly one of the leaders of the defense. We should pass along here that today is ACC It's Syracuse Takeover Day on the ACC Network. Yes, they're going to be playing all Syracuse games from the past year.
Yeah, I don't get why they've pigeonholed them. I Googled it during the break. I was wondering if that was the proper. It is the proper term. They pigeonholed themselves into playing only games from last year. And it wasn't a great year for...
I mean, I don't know if it's an ACC Network decision or a Syracuse decision. I don't know.
I would assume it's the network.
Probably.
But they've got the Cuse men's basketball from against Notre Dame. They only had one football game to pick, right?
Well, yeah. They only won one. So you got to show the one they won.
ACC tournament went over NC State for Syracuse. They can't play.
I was going to say that Virginia game was a whole lot of fun, but
yeah, Syracuse.
They lost the game, right?
Was there not two regular season games that were? Who cares? And then the men in the lax win one of the wins over Virginia. It's very uninspiring. It's not. That's if you're a Syracuse fan, that's not a.
It's not like a football win over Clemson or a basketball win over Duke
or even the Virginia Tech like. Couldn't you just, like, for the football team, throw the Virginia Tech or Clemson game on once more?
Yeah, I mean, the Clemson game wasn't that long
ago.
That
huge win against Liberty 2 years ago, back in the good old days when we could beat Liberty.
You asked me during the commercial break what I remember about the Georgia Tech win from a football perspective. The thing that I remember the most is that that was the game Andre Sisco got hurt during warmups.
Right.
That's and there was the delay. Before the kickoff. Those are the two things that I remember from that game. At least the first two things I remember from that game.
It was a very long season for football last year. There's no moments. Like, that delay of the game is probably the biggest moment of the year. Like, that's the one thing that sticks out in my head was like, are we going to have a game canceled midway through the, like, just at kickoff?
Nobody knew what was going on.
We did a whole pregame show,
yeah,
and now we're going into kickoff, and that's the memory of the football season.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what comes to mind for me as well. They won that game 37-20, and there are memorable plays from that game. That was really where Sean Tucker started to break out. But you asked me, and I'm just being honest, the two things that popped into my head, that was the freak injury to Sisco in warmups and the fact that the game was delayed because of COVID.
Yeah. The only other thing I remember from that season was we called the Notre Dame game from the basketball site because there was a basketball and football game back-to-back, and we did both games right in a row. That's the only memory, and those are just personal memories of it.
That had to be strange.
We were looking towards the bleachers with the curtain for the football game, and then we just turned around and watched the basketball game live for the live basketball.
So was there, like, while you were calling the football game, was there, like, gnat sound of balls bouncing on the floor?
Post-game.
Post-game, okay. Because it was early enough that their guys weren't out there yet. Okay.
There's something else football-related I want to hit that Jordan put on here, and it caught my eye. Twice in the past 2 weeks, Dino Babers has been ranked the ACC's worst coach by CBS Sports and Sporting News. How do you feel? Like, how do you feel about? I personally think that's.
I think that that goes.
Is that just going off of?
I think that's season? Going off a win total. Yeah, I think that's going off of the wins. Yeah,
because he's not the worst. Like, as much as people hate to hear this, he's not the worst coach. Like, he's not a bad coach. Last year was a lot of bad breaks, and that's part of coaching. It's part of life.
Now, the part that I think I will buy, and I'm not saying this personally, but I'm just saying, you know, gauging the temperature in the community and among some of the fans, they've got 24/7 Sports has him listed as like they have a hot seat rating and they have a rating of 3. I assume it's 1 to 5. Is that what it is? So I get that.
I would put his hot seat hotter than that, though. See, I disagree with that. You're coming off, like, as much as I say you can be a good coach and still lose, your record ultimately is what you're judged by the fans,
right,
not
but
by others.
I think we also have to look at, you know, the length of his contract. And, you know, we've talked about some of those things, the financial considerations, who are you going to get if you get rid of him? So, I don't know, when I think hot seat, I think how close are they to making a change? I think 3 is about right.
The who are you going to get if it isn't him?
Here's the thing, not to interrupt you. three is like 50%, right? It feels it's right in the middle. I feel like very much this thing could go either way, right? Coming off that one win season, that's the way I look at it. Is they win five or six games this year, you know, it's not a three anymore. The pendulum swings into favor of him, you know, being here. And if they win, you know, a game or two, the pendulum starts swinging a little bit the other way. He's so I do think it's kind of in that middle ground where it could really go either way.
It's like betting PJ Tucker.
Over under.
Yeah. So my thought on it is this, is the hot seat version, if you're going by fans, he's like scalding hot at a 4.5 if you're going fan wise. And second of all, the who are you going to replace him with argument doesn't work with him right now. You had that 10-win season, but it doesn't, like, he's a great guy, great coach. It doesn't work. You're not replacing a Hall of Famer. You're replacing Dino Babers coming off a 1-10 season and possibly another losing season. Your options of replacing him, no matter where you go, there's a chance it's gonna be better, right?
Yeah, but again, and we saw this with Coach P's situation. Be careful what you wish for, because it could be a lot worse too.
But Coach P had a track record.
No, I know.
They did that. That was just a stupid firing to begin with for when it happened. But, you know.
This season, I'm going to jump in right here. This season is going to be very telling. Because, right. And that's what I'm saying, is that are they closer to, you know, I was going to say closer to 10 wins or closer to one. The truth is somewhere in the middle. They're not a one-win program. They're not a 10-win program.
I have a feeling he's going to turn it around this year. I really do.
It is a big year, though, for a lot of for exactly what you're talking about.
Right, and people in the Twitch chat, CBW, saying who... I mean, anybody could win one game if you're coaching.
Yeah.
If you're a coach, that's not a hard bar to jump over. Like, I could almost... There's not much I could do in Division I sports, but I almost think I could go out and coach Syracuse to a win over...
Georgia Tech?
No.
That was the one they got last year.
Albany. I think I could beat Albany.
I hope so.
I think I could draw some plays in the dirt and pull it off.
All kidding aside, we should mention Ohio, SU's first opponent, did announce some big news today. Their head coach, Frank Solich, is retiring after a long and storied career for him. Doing so, you know, you wonder about the timing. It is due to health reasons, he said, and they didn't get into what those health reasons are. But obviously, you never like to hear that a program needs to make a change based on the health of its coach. So all the best to certainly Frank Solich and his family. But there will be a coaching change for Ohio. You know, that's SU's first opponent. Offensive coordinator Tim Albin is taking over. They gave him a four-year contract, so it's not even a interim-type situation. They promoted him. He's the guy for the next 4 years, but a little bit of a transition there for Ohio. It's not like it happened a week before the season. They've got, you know, a couple months to get ready, or a month and a half in any event. But again, we should point that out. Frank Solich stepping down, retiring to focus on his health. Spent the last 16 seasons at Ohio. We've got to take a time out here.
This is important information.
Breaking news before we take a time out.
It's not huge breaking news, but Buddy and Jimmy Boeheim will play for the East Coast in Spain. Jim Boeheim will coach another squad on the tour, so Jimmy and Buddy Boeheim will be getting some run this year in a 3-game tour in Spain in August. So there you go.
Good opportunity for them.
Yeah. Breaking news. Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim will be the head coach of the white team. Adrian Autry, SU's assistant head coach, will be Boeheim's assistant. So, there you go. Big news.
All right.
Syracuse basketball.
Breaking. I don't know if it was stinger worthy, but...
And interrupt you?
You just like playing the stinger.
I do. That was
huge. The stinger's fun.
That's huge news.
Okay. Let's take a time out here.
But the Boeheims are not playing for Jim Boeheim, so they will not get a lot of playing time, according to the fan base. Just letting you know that.
You had to throw that in there.
Love
it. Just stir the pot. Yeah. Stir the pot.
Poke the bear, as the kids would say.
All right. Hour number two kicks off right after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 and 100.1.
This is Orange Nation.
ABC, our bump back, Steve. a band found by Belle Biv DeVoe.
That's right.
Who we were
Great
going
segue.
To, who we're going to be live at the fair for on August 26th, hopefully.
Can't wait.
Hopefully the Twitch people can come out and enjoy it.
I love you say how you say at the end, you say hopefully. What does it depend? I mean, we're making it happen, right?
Yeah, no, I hope that the people care about us enough to come out and join us.
Well, we're going to be there either way. So whether or not people come out to join us, that's on them. I'm going to enjoy some Belle Biv DeVoe.
Will you do the Running Man?
Maybe.
Okay.
You might be able to talk me into it.
All right.
It's time. It's time to make our selections, our much-anticipated selections.
How sad is it that this is, like, the most talked-about thing in our Twitch chat? People stop me. Like, when I meet listeners, this is what they bring up, our golf bets.
Really?
Yes. This is like...
You made it a thing because you went out and won $5,000.
Well, it was before that. Like, we lost the one before that. But ever since we started talking about that, people love this. It's the opposite of Joe Girard. They love this.
That's true. Well, let's have at it. And we're joined on the phone, by the way, by my News Channel 9 colleague, Mario Sacco, who's going to be filling in for me next week. I'm on vacation next week. It'll be Paulie and Mario taking you through next week. So Mario's getting in on the action. So we've got myself, Paulie, Mario, Jordan's in on the action as well.
Yep. Josh Golden, our producer or intern, bet Paul Casey already.
So that's five.
That's five.
And then we have added a special guest this week, a sixth better will be getting in on the action. My dad called me yesterday.
See?
And said he wants in.
See? I told you people love this.
And I originally told him, I said, well, we can make a side bet for you, but you can't get in on the group because of who he wanted to select. I didn't think you would approve, Paulie.
No, but your dad gets it. Your dad gets value.
Yeah.
So explain who your dad bet and why we're allowing it.
So my dad wants Rory McIlroy, and he said he is so confident he's throwing 50 into the pot.
That is good.
That's value.
That is value.
So there you go. So 50 on Rory, courtesy of my dad, and then the rest of us have to make our selections. So, Mario, let me bring you in. What are you thinking?
Can I take your dad up for a round at Bellevue, too?
I tell you what, if Rory wins, why not? Why not?
All right. I'm going to take Colin Morikawa.
Who?
He's at 40-1. The guy that won the PGA. Yeah.
Is that under our odds, though?
It's 40-1.
You said it had to be 25 and up, right?
Oh, okay, Paul? Okay. So, okay, I got him. All right. This is why it's a great bit, because I have no idea who this dude is.
So he won the PGA, like, a year ago.
Yeah, he's been playing fairly well.
All right. Never heard of him.
Mario, remember on the phone when I told you just pick whoever and we'll find another? Again, there's no rhyme or reason to this.
It was either that or Tommy Fleetwood, just because I like his hair.
I bet 100 on him last tournament. I'm not doing that again.
You scare me sometimes.
All right. Jordan, who you got?
Oh, no.
Not ready?
No, I'm ready. I just can't believe I'm about to be swayed by this. Paulie, I came in before the show today and I told you about a little statistic that I saw, and that is that we might have a record set at the Open. Lee Westwood, if he does not win, will have the most starts without a major win ever. And in this article that I have referenced, it lists him as a tier two, if everything goes right, sleeper candidate. If you're going to win on Phil Mickelson, I'm going to try to one-up you. Lee Westwood's going to make history and avoid it at the same time by winning the Open.
I don't see him on the list.
I'll find him for you. That is my pick.
But what? I got to make sure he's in it.
I promise he is if he's never won before. If he's
Lee Westwood is 35-1.
That's not bad odds.
I'm telling you.
That's good value. Oh, there he is.
It's good value, right? 35-1 for a guy who's never won. That's awful value. But so, I'm a storyline better.
So you listened to the interview that we did yesterday with James, because I brought up two names. I brought up Lee Westwood. I brought up Ricky Fowler. You're taking Lee Westwood. I'm going Ricky Fowler.
Yes, Steve. Yes.
There are signs he's turning it around, right? There are signs that he's turning it around. This year, he's got a tie for 8th at the PGA Championship, tied for 11th at Memorial. Last time they played on this particular golf course 10 years ago, tied for 5th at the British Open. He's among the golfers, you know, the best golfers never to win a major. I've always liked Ricky Fowler, I'm hoping that he can catch lightning in a bottle for 4 days, and I'm hoping he gets it done. And I'm assuming, I don't have the odds in front of me. I'm assuming there's great value on Ricky Fowler. Has to be.
We should discuss these before we go on the air.
Because then, you'll know the numbers.
Yes, right in advance.
No,
we'll figure this out next year.
I'm seeing right now Ricky Fowler at plus 8,000 to win.
I'm saying 66 to 1.
Well, see, here's the thing: different books, different odds.
Ricky Fowler 66 to 1 is what I got.
You guys haven't even gotten to the part of finding value where you go place to place, book to book to find the best line. You guys think you're learning about being a degenerate? Oh no!
All right, I like it. And your dad picked Rory.
He did.
Right? All right, so here's what I'm doing, and I'm breaking my own rules.
What?
I'm breaking my own rules. I said we couldn't split. I said we couldn't split, but I'm splitting because the odds of my guys are so high.
Okay.
At 125 to 1, I'm doing Stuart Sink.
Okay.
At $10. All right? That's good. That's good, right?
I'm down.
And
I have a sinking feeling.
And my sleeper pick is going to be Ryan Fox at plus 30,000 for our second pick.
So hang on. So Stuart Sink is not his sleeper pick. Okay. Let's just throw that out there.
No, I'm the long shot guy.
No, I know.
If but Sink's said, the sleeper, then Fox
you
is
said,
dead.
I'm like, going sleeper. I'm going Stuart Sink and he, then dude, my sleeper.
The dude is a European and he hits the hell out of the ball.
Told you not to bet based on European.
I thought you were going Guido. I really did. But
no.
Okay.
He may be one of the... Yeah. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going Ryan Fox.
Oh my God. Mario, do you know anything about Ryan Fox?
I know, absolutely. I thought he was going to go with Darren Clark, at least the guy that's won there before.
I did due diligence on Ryan Fox. He's 34-year-old. He hits long and strong.
Has he won on the European Tour?
He's a European Tour. He's a two-time. He's a winner on the European Tour, and he's a two-time Olympian.
Oh, well, there you go.
So there you go.
Did you say he was European?
Yeah.
From New Zealand.
Oh, well, he's not American.
That's he's not from the U.S.
He's on the European Tour.
At whatever the odds he was, we can live with that.
Yeah, so just think of that times 10. All right, there we go.
And do we want to pool our money for a PJ Tucker over under 4.5 points? I'm joking. All right, Mario, thank you for joining us. Any final words before we let you go? You're stuck with Paulie all of next week, so I'm sorry in advance for doing that to you.
I'm just trying to figure out what Star Wars character I am in that image that you guys show.
Yeah, Ryan, one of our listeners, has been creating...
I guess I'm one of those little Ewoks.
Star Wars figures.
That was me, Mario. That was me.
my bad, Jordan. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, you can be the Ewok if you want.
I still... and thanks, Mario, for coming on. I still take exception to the comparison to CP3O. I don't like it. I don't like it. Why are you smart?
Because if the shoe fits, wear it. Yeah, if the
I don't like it.
Metal suit.
What do
fits,
I need to do to change that perception?
Get cool. You better cool it up one day. Not wear a tie on the air.
If you start just beeping all the time instead of speaking English, you could be
R2-D2.
Wear a jersey into work one day.
And then what? Your
you know, go to a Belle Biv DeVoe show.
Because I feel like he is the least cool character in the entire
thing. The Twitch chat said you probably need to get cool. I guess so.
Wait, but he's all gold, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's...
That's as cool as
no,
can be.
No, he's uptight. Dude.
He is. He's nervous all the time. He doesn't want to... I don't know. I don't like the comparison.
You're acting like C-3PO right now.
Why?
Because you're being very C-3PO right now.
Steve, repeat after me. We're going to do this together, like Steve. Bee, boop, bop, beep.
You got to cool it up, kid.
I don't like it.
All right.
Let's take our final timeout. We're wrapping the show after this.
What droid would you be if you could?
We're back after this.